Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There's a humorous story told of a preacher who was challenged to spend the night in a haunted house. And he accepted the challenge, but to his surprise, about midnight, spooks came around him. Frightened, he began to pray, but the spooks did not leave. He then read the scriptures, but they did not leave. He then prepared to pass the collection plate, and immediately they scattered. This seems to be the attitude of many on hearing lessons regarding giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now the Apostle Paul raised funds among the Gentile churches for Jewish brethren in Judea who were in need because of a famine. He had given instructions to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Contributions were received from Galatia and Asia and Macedonia. The churches in Macedonia were upheld to the Corinthians as examples in giving. They had responded over and beyond expectations, counting it a privilege to give. They had learned well the teaching of Christ in Acts 20 and verse 35, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And although afflicted and in deep poverty, they gave of their own accord, to the fullest extent, even beyond their power. And in doing so, they became rich in the Lord by their liberality. And as marvelous as was their deed, the attitude of heart that motivated the deed is also remarkable. What was the reason they gave the way they did? If ever there was given to us a key to successful giving, we have it in this account. Do you ever wonder why some congregations are able to do so many things that others never attempt in such areas as the work of missions and expansions, benevolence, and various good works authorized of God? It is not because they are richer than others. It is because they give better than others. And while we are concerned about how much to give, we must first be concerned about how to give. These Macedonian brethren first gave of themselves. They were committed to the cause of Christ. In Revelation, we read of the church in Laodicea who thought themselves in need of nothing, but in the sight of God they were poor and wretched and blind. The church in Macedonia was poor, even in poverty, but rich in the sight of God because of their liberality. The reason some give liberally is because they know that what is in their power is not their own, and they are but stewards of that which has been granted temporarily to them by the Lord, and that it all belongs to God. They realize they shall give an account of how they used what God allows them to control. They know that they are not even their own, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Shall we not reap what we sow? Shall we not reap even more than we sow? Once a rich man, who wished to do something helpful for a carpenter who was in need, hired the carpenter to build a house. The rich man left town for a while, leaving everything to the care of the carpenter. The carpenter did a shoddy job, cutting corners, using inferior materials. But when the rich man returned, he gave the keys of the house to the carpenter to be his own house. And how the carpenter then wished he had been more attentive in doing his duty properly. In similar fashion, God has entrusted us with certain duties and the opportunities. And friend, the house we build will be our own. How are we building? When we give as we ought, we are laying up treasures in heaven. In Matthew 6:19-20, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The tale is told of one who went to heaven and being escorted to his eternal home. He was led by many glorious mansions, and he inquired if one of them belonged to him. And being told no, he was taken to a lesser mansion, which he assumed would be his. And again he was told not yet. And on he was led to the lowliest and humblest of dwellings. Disappointed, he asked why this was all that he got. And the reply was given, "We did the best we could with what you sent us." Well, you can tell where your heart is if you will discover where your treasure is. Please notice 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 instructs that we purpose our giving. Friend, this means to plan, to intend, giving to it some thought, making a commitment. And while some cringe at the word pledging, this is actually what is involved. Now, the reason faithful brethren do not like the word pledging is because of the abuses executed in the denominations about giving. But with some, it might be because they prefer giving in an unplanned, haphazard manner, giving God their leftovers. And whether one calls it planning, or purposing, or pledging, or whatever, our giving is to be after proper consideration. As we have prospered, intentionally given, of a free will, dictated by how much we love the Lord. What one gives is between the person and God, but we must be sure that our attitude is right and our actions are acceptable. And please notice the proper attitude. We're not to give grudgingly or of necessity just because we feel we have to give something. We're told to give cheerfully and willingly, because we get to give, not because we have to give. We give as God has prospered us. The New Testament sets no specific percentage for giving as did the Mosaic Law. Now, some try to teach that you're supposed to give 10%. Well, that's not taught in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. At the same time, some may try to hide behind the absence of a given percentage in order to give at less than the 10%, or give as little as they think they can get by with doing. Actually, when you calculate all that the Jews gave, they gave as high as one-third of what they received. Well, just do your own figuring. What if God allowed us to prosper in proportion to the way that we give? How many would be willing to live on 10 times their contributions? There is a spiritual beauty in giving because it is godlike and it is Christlike. One complained upon hearing a sermon on giving, and he said, "All I hear is give, give, give." Well, think about it, friend, and you will see that this is a fair commentary on the real nature of Christianity. Look what God has given. Consider what Christ has given. Look what heaven offers in the gift of forgiveness and fellowship with deity and hope and purpose in life and providence and God's protection. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Our giving is not a repayment to God, because we can never repay God for what he has provided for us. It is, as the song suggests, "It demands my life, my all." But giving is our expression of love for the Lord. By giving, we prove our sincerity of our love, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8. How much do you love God? Your giving is a good indicator. The Christian has many duties and he has many privileges, and giving is one of both of them. And we dare not neglect it. By giving, we worship God. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3 and verse 9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase." Giving does not cost, it pays. What money that is in our control is the property of God, loaned to us for a while, and we have the responsibility to handle it according to his will. It should not be used wastefully, wantonly, upon our own indulgence. Does he not deserve the use of it? We must constantly be attentive to the proper acquisition of money and the proper distribution of it and the expenditure of it. But let us examine our heart and consider our giving in the light of the teaching of truth. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.